I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read two scriptures before we get started on what I've given you here. I'll go as far as I can. I'll stop. I'll go as far as I can tonight. What I don't get covered, you'll have. We are doing the study on Rebuke the Devourer. This will be the third message of that teaching. The first message was entitled Christian Stewardship. The primary thing that I wanted you to learn from that teaching was that you need to be faithful in few things, the Lord said. Faithful in few things, and then He would make you ruler over many. Now, if you've got 100 apples and you give me 10, have you given me a few? Or have you given me many? You've given me a few. If you make $100, you give the church, the kingdom of God, 10. Is that still few? Then you who are faithful in the few, He will make you ruler over many. That's the principle. But if you're not faithful in the few, you will never be faithful in the many. A tithe is a little thing. A tithe is a few. But if you really look it out and look through it, you will find that the majority of the Christian world does not few things. Does not tithe. Am I right? But we've got this apprehension that we're going to skate into the kingdom of God, just roll right in there on our skateboard, chewing our bubble gum, and going to rule and reign with Jesus. But He says what? If you're not faithful in a few things, you might as well forget being faithful in many. Is that right? Okay. The second message that we taught was last Sunday night. It was Jesus, Lord of our finances. And I went to this scripture that we're fixing to read here in Matthew chapter 6. Is Jesus Lord?
Yes.
Is He Lord over every demon?
Yes.
Is He Lord over every sickness?
Yes.
Is He Lord over every obstacle in your life?
Yes.
I can give you an acid test to see. Is He Lord over your finances? Because He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can tell like that if He's Lord of your life. You see, looking at things concerning the kingdom of God are not difficult. He's laid it all out here for me. And a lot of it's written in red letters.
Yes.
And that one is written in red letters. And when I make some of these things up, even when I'm going to teach it, you see, if I really want to emphasize something, put it in red. And that one's red. We talked about how much money is talked about. It is scriptural, it is spiritual to talk about money. So much was said in the Gospels and the epistles concerning money. We've got all that on tape. Just kind of refreshing your thinking. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Is He Lord of your finances? Today what I want to look at basically is I want to cover two main obstacles, two main objectives. And while I'm saying this, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. I want to first of all today, and I'll make some of you mad, but that's nothing new, is it? I'll make some of you upset. But I know, you see, that a pastor is not some little fat man that just attends this and attends that and goes to this and goes to that. If a pastor does not change your life, If a pastor does not change the way you think, he's not a pastor. If I can't change the way you've been thinking, if I can't change your life, I'm failing. The objectives that I want to get, number one, I want you to see and I want you to get out of a give to receive mentality. The message you basically hear across the airways today is you got to give to get. And that is true. Forget about getting if you don't give. But that is not the reason you give. You don't give to get. And I want to talk about that a little bit. All prosperity is not Christianity. I know some very wealthy people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can apply the principles. They'll work. But unless you're applying them for the proper reasons, you're still lost as a goose. What happened to the one that he gave one talent to? And he did not reproduce that one talent last week. Who remembers? Cast him out. I knew a woman. I still know her. She was talking to me one day. She says, Delbert, I give all the time, but nobody ever gives me anything. Oh, I cried. I says, you're giving for the wrong reasons. Don't give so somebody will give you back. Give because you love to give. Love to give. Learn to love to give. Not expecting nothing in return. That is one of the biggest hang-ups I've got about Christmas, is because we got to give so we'll get. And if I don't give somebody a present, then they're not going to give me one. And I fooled some of you this year, didn't I? Number two, I want to show you that much of our giving is not scriptural. Not that giving is not scriptural, but the way we give is not scriptural. Unless we do it by the proper ways God says to do it, we're putting our money in a bag with holes in it. Is that what Malachi said? You're putting it in a bag with holes in it, and ends will never meet. And you can give and give and give and give and give, but God will never bless it. He can't bless it. He would be going against His word. He tells us exactly how to do it. And if we do it that way, He'll bless it. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. But if you don't do it that way, what does He do? What does He say? Same scripture. You are cursed with a curse. I want to look at where the tithe goes. I want to look at where the offering goes. And if you do not follow these scriptural instructions, you are cursed with a curse. Now, look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. I want to read verse 8. And you tell me if this is not the way the Christian world looks at things today. Verse 8. Deuteronomy 12. Ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Does the Christian world today give the way they think it's right? If I want to pay tithes this week, I'll pay tithes. If I don't, I won't. If I want to give offerings, I'll give. If I don't, I won't. And twice in Judges, that same thought is given. Every man does what seems right in his eyes. And if we get behind on our Christmas debt, we'll skip our tithe so we can pay for our Christmas. Now, we suffered that here, folks. I can show you on the books. Willis, did we suffer that here? The week of Christmas, you know what our tithe done? Is that doing what we think is right in our eyes? And that's where we're at. And we've got to get out of that mentality. And I, like Malachi, must say to you today, I, like Haggai, consider your ways. Is that all right? You have to consider it. I'll show you, but you'll have to adjust it. Now, on page 45 of your notes, I want to read down the second paragraph right here, middle of the page. Today's gospel that most Christians want to hear and most even want to preach is a gospel centered on receiving and not liberality or giving. I say that with experience. I'm going to say that again. Let me say it the way I want to say it. I say that with experience. Many of the major ministries I would used to listen to and study after, I studied for the main reason to learn principles that would cause me to receive. I'm talking about myself. I thank God that He is saving me from that realm of thinking and is showing me that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't get off on the wrong foot with me. I know that God desires His people to be prosperous, but the reason He desires them to be prosperous is so they can bless the kingdom. Do you really care? Think God cares if you're rich? If you take that money and hoard it in a bank somewhere, He'll prosper you if you'll give it back to Him. But we can take that money and we can use it to touch this city. Seek ye first the kingdom. That fact must somehow get into our heads rather than seeking first to receive. Now, tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, then I've got to change my whole message. Do most Christians have the mentality that I'll give so I'll get? All right. Do you give tithe or do you pay tithe? I hear two answers. Okay, we're going to learn. The answer to that is you pay tithe. Until you have given the Lord over 10%, you've given Him nothing. For the tithe is the Lord's, and it is holy. And if you touch it, you mess with that holy thing, you're cursed with a curse. It's that plain, it's that simple. I better skip some of this. Let me show you that the nature of God is to give. That's on the bottom of page 45 and then on page 46. But what I want you to do is turn to Isaiah 53. You're not far from it. Isaiah 53, very familiar passage of Scripture I want to read. But I want to show you something. The nature of God is to give. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, John writes, "And God is love." That is the nature of God. God's nature is to love. God is love. Say that with me. God is love. That's His nature. His nature is to love. And then in John 3:16, He says, "For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son." That's how much He loved. His nature is to love. To love is to give. If you're not giving because you love to give, then you're giving for the wrong motives. Now, I want to show you something. Isaiah 53 is a very, very, very well-known passage of Scripture. Who can tell me right off the bat who it's talking about? Jesus. The lamb led to the slaughter. Let's read it a little bit so we'll make sure everybody knows. Begin at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Who smote him? Get it right. There it is, right there for you. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Oh, God, teach us to do that. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, before her shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison. Who's it talking about? He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Now remember that God so loved that he gave his only son, right? He so loved. Drop down to verse 10. Look at this. Yet it pleased. Do you see that? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Is God sadistic? But yet it pleased him to do this to his son. He hath put him to grief. It pleased the Lord. I'm getting to something. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, had he been any other way, had he boo-hooed and cried and said, woe is me, for my son is hung on the cross, would he be a cheerful giver? God so loved that he gave, and it says right here that it pleased him. And that word in the Hebrew means to be pleased with desire, favor, like, to be well pleased, have pleasure, have a will. Did it please God to give his son? Did he give him cheerfully? Why? Because he knew what was coming out. He saw the end from the beginning. He knew the glory of it would be much greater than the tragedy of it. He knew that today, January the 5th, 1986, that you would be sitting right where you're sitting. It pleased him because of that. God loveth a cheerful giver. The nature of God is to give. The nature of God is to love. What is yours? Do you give to get? Or do you get because you love the Lord Jesus Christ so much that you want to give him all that you've got? New Testament giving is not 10%. Jesus stood and he watched how they give. Mark chapter 12. The widow's mite. Read it. He stood by the treasury and he watched how they give. Two kinds of people given. Those from their abundance, and one little old grandma gave all that she had. And he says that she has given more than them all, because she's given all of her living, all of her life, and she had the love to do it. How do you give? Well, it's Sunday again, and I got to write that tithe check. I know what Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira on the way to church, Acts chapter 5. Honey, how much do you think we ought to give this week? Well, you know, we got Christmas we got to pay for. Visa bill come in. We ought to give this, but let's just give this week. I'm telling you the truth. God's raising up ministry. Go home with you. Sleep with you. Eat with you. What happened to Ananias and Sapphira? What if all the Ananias and Sapphiras dropped dead today? My goodness. It's coming. If you keep looking for a New Testament church, you're going to get a New Testament church, and that's part of it. Well, I'm being mean today. It's not my nature to be mean. It pleased God to give His Son. It pleased God to bruise Him. Does it please you to give your tithe? Does it please you to give your offering? Or is it a drudgery? Is it Sunday again? See why I waited till last to take up the offering? Nature of God is to give. God loves a cheerful giver. And He doesn't watch what you give as much as He watches how you give. Now that's on last week's. But it must please us to give. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 is the story. It's on page 46 of the widow's mite. The bottom line is that two types of givers. One gives all from their abundance. One gives simply because that's all they've got. Gives all their lives, all their living. New Testament giving is not just 10%. New Testament giving is all your living, all your life. She cast in all that she had, the Bible says, even all her living. Now I want to get on the tithe. And I'll try to hurry. I've only got 14 more pages to go. Some say that the tithe is Old Testament, that New Testament does not talk about tithing. That is not true. Tithing was, first of all, before the law, Old Testament, during the law, and after the law. And under point B on page 46, there are all your scriptures. I'll read this last portion and read those scriptures out just so they'll be on the tape. In Hebrews chapter 7, we read about the Melchizedek order and that Jesus is after that order of priesthood, which is the power of an endless life, verse 16. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Genesis 14, which was before the law of Moses anyway. That puts the tithe right back on us because we are the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:29. Are you the seed of Abraham? You know all this. But tithing was before the law, Genesis 14:18-20, 28:20-22. During the law, Leviticus 27:30-33, Numbers 18:20-24, Nehemiah 10:37-39, 12:44, 13:10-12, Malachi 3:7-12, Deuteronomy 12:5-6. 14:22, 2 Chronicles 31:5-12, and etc. And tithing was after the law. Matthew 23:23, Luke 11:42, and Hebrews chapter 7. Now, there's all your scriptures if you want to look those up. But the main thing I want you to see, and I'll touch Matthew 23:23, Luke 11:42 later on tonight. I'll explain that to you. Turn to the book of Leviticus chapter 27. I'll get this and then I'll quit. You need to know that the tithe is the beginning point of giving. Simply the beginning point. It's the foundation. It is the system which God Himself has devised in His Word to teach you to give. Simply the basic thought of tithing is to teach you how to give. Get you started someplace. Most Christians, if they could start any place they wanted to and stay any place they wanted to, they would start with nothing and stay with nothing. But if you're faithful in a few things, He'll make you ruler over many. All right. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And the amount of the tithe that you want to pay, is that right?
No.
and all. Everybody say that little word. All the time. Of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Whose is it? Yours? How much of it? You mean I just can't pay $5 if I want to? It is holy unto the Lord. You got to know that. It is not yours. You do not give it. You pay it. Is that clear? I want you to see that. Now, I didn't write this. I wrote this, but I didn't write this. But if this doesn't line up with this, then this is no good anywhere. All the time is the Lord's. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. And until you realize and get it in your head that it's holy, it's not just something you can haphazardly do if you want to. It's holy. And if you mess with a holy thing, there's going to be a curse with it. Why? Do you know one? This is one. There's two main ones that really get to me. But one of the main detriments of a Christian testimony is they're behind on their bills. What kind of a witness is that? I went down to get my license. I haven't found that yet in Acts, but we do it. But I went down to get my license in Macon. And one of the things they told me was that preachers have the worst credit rating of anybody. That makes me mad. I don't know who second and third was, but preachers were the worst. The good point, they were quick to tell me, Assemblies of God preachers were the top of the worst. And let me tell you, I'm not boasting. If I'm boasting, I'm boasting in the Lord, and I only boast in the cross because He's done it with His grace in my life and changed me. I used to be that way. People call me on the telephone. Mr. Young, your bill is past due. Call my wife. She takes care of all of that stuff. Does that sound like anybody in here? I learned this principle that I'm projecting to you today, and this is not something that I just dreamed up here yesterday. This is something I've applied for 5 years. And if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. We were talking about it this morning over at the parsonage. Me and Judy and Lance and Bonnie sitting there talking. But at the time they asked me this, people, honest, I was debt free. Asked me, how is your credibility? Brother, I am debt free. And I'm talking about now, and I'm not. I am boasting, bless God. A $70,000 house. Mine! And the Lord's. And hers. Paid for. Why? Because I learned to tithe. I learned to offer. I learned to apply the principles that I'm trying to tell you today. I learned that He would rebuke the devourer for my sake. And right now today, if my finances started messing up, and a couple of weeks back, they kind of got funny looking. You know, the first thing she said to me, Delbert, you're paying tithes right. See, mine's kind of funny. I pay some here, and then I got to pay some to the district, and I do. It's there, but sometimes I don't mail it. It ain't no good unless I mail it. I'm trying to tell you something. There is a principle here that if you'll learn it and walk on it and walk in it, it will change your life.
Yes, amen.
You'll look back. It was amazing what he done in our lives in 2 years' time. Just totally amazing. Totally amazing. I don't have time to get into all of that. I'll let her tell you tonight. Just took me from indebtedness, and all of a sudden, I didn't know anybody anything. And I had to look around for somebody to pay some money to. I didn't look too hard, but but I learned what I'm trying to tell you today. I'm talking from experience. When I first began this principle, it was to get. Now it's to give. Now, the thing you got to see is the word all there. All right? And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed, 30-fold, fruit, 60-fold, and then drop down to verse 32 and you'll find the flock, the herd, 100-folders. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I don't have time to go back and explain all of that. But if you're a tither, you begin in a 30-fold realm, and it begins with money, seed. And then if you grow in the Lord, you go to a 60-fold realm. And that gets into judgment and mercies and faith, and I'll get into that tonight. If you're a 100-folder, then you're part of the flock that becomes the tithe. And you learn to pass under the rod, and the rod is leadership. You learn to pass under that rod, and you become a tithe. And I'll touch on this more tonight, but what I want to get right now, it's the word all. 30, 60, 100. Now, did they pay tithes on the seed, fruit, and flock after taxes, insurance, and savings? I'm not being mean. Well, let me tell you, let me show you in the Word. Some of you really want to know. And it's not because you're trying to skimp on your tithes, it's just that you need to know. If taxes, insurance, and savings and whatever comes out and you don't pay tithe on your gross but on your net, then verse 31 is written for you. Because you have redeemed part of the tithe of what God's blessed you and prospered you with. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereof, or thereto, 20% thereof. Do you see what I just said? If you redeem it for your own use, taxes, savings, insurance, anything, what God then says to do, that's fine with him. You can do that. That's not a sin. But what he wants back is that plus 20%. So I learned that I'd save money if I just went ahead and paid the whole thing off of the gross. There's a first fruit principle that you need to learn there. You see, it's not second fruits. That's the way Lance put it this morning. You don't pay tithe on the second fruit. You pay tithe on the first fruit. If 10 sheep coming down the run, the way it was done is he would count. 9 would be mine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the 10th one would be the Lord's. Now, who would divinely place that 10th one? Me or the Lord? The Lord. And I would stand here and I would say, Lord, don't let that 10th one be that big old fat sheep. Let it be that little skinny one. That one with worms. And knowing the Lord the way I know the Lord, which one would it be? The big fat one. Today, Lord, don't ask me to give $100 to that. What does he do? He's going to touch you where you need to be touched at. And if it's right here, he'll get it. Because he knows, he wrote it. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. And it's sad to say that a lot of Christians' heart is not right here. A lot of Christians wear their heart on their backside. Because that's where their treasure is. Woo, that's good. That's enough for this morning. What I'll get tonight, and this is probably the best part. Linda, come to the piano. What I'll get tonight is I want to show you that worship is the purpose of tithe anyway. We have missed the purpose of giving. Because now we want to give to get. And God says, give to me. And rejoice. Rejoice. You come into my house that I've given you. And your family. And your sons and your daughters. All of you. And rejoice. And what do? We call for the ushers to come forward, please. In a real reverent way, we pass the plates. And God says, rejoice. It's one of the first principles that I taught you here. When we took up the offering, we weren't going to have a real solemn occasion. We were at least going to play a fast song. We were at least going to clap our hands. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, and I'll teach you about tonight, to rejoice before the Lord. I'll teach you tonight exactly where the Bible says to put your tithes, what to do with your offerings. I'll show you tonight that the curse, again, I'll go through it one more time, is putting your money in a bag with holes in it. That we live in paneled houses, sealed houses, fine houses, and we'll let the house of God go waste. It's right here. It's in the Bible. Go through all of that tonight. But the main thing that I want to show you tonight is that we become a tithe. We become the tenth. We become the part of the flock that passes under the rod and is chosen of Him. That's what I really want to be. I'll pay tithes. I understand judgment, mercies, and faith. But the thing that I want to be is I want to be with that first fruit company in Revelation chapter 14 that goes off of Mount Zion. That's what I want. Amen. Can I have my ushers?